listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Tennis in 10, our daily 10-minute recap of all events at the U.S. Open in New York City. I'm Ed McGrogan. And looking back at day four, this comes out just a little later than usual, so thank you for bearing with me. And day four, we get the first real steady day of rain at the tournament, but it was only for about an hour and a half stretch, maybe close to 2 hours, but everything singles-wise did get in by day's end. Some matches running extremely late on the outer courts. I mean, you actually had, I think, multiple outer court matches running after the conclusion of the Ash program. That because Serena Williams and Juan Martín Del Potro both win in straight sets on Ash. Del Potro doing so over Steve Johnson, the top-ranked American. You know, one of the better second-round matchups we had there. Steve Tignor covered that one for us and really examined, you know, that Del Potro, he's obviously long been known for his forehand and how devastating a shot that is. And that perhaps at this stage of his career, even after multiple wrist surgeries, extended time away, and 7 years removed from a U.S. Open title, that shot may now actually be even better than he was hitting it before because of the limitations on his backhand and the need to improve that forehand and make it even more of a point-ending shot, which is hard to fathom. But you know, judging by what we saw from Del Potro at the Olympics, winning a silver medal, and what we saw against Johnson last night, you have to be sort of, I think, convinced by now of where Del Potro is and what kind of threat he poses to the whole field, quite honestly. And given his comfort level at this tournament, he's gone out of his way to say that he thoroughly loves the atmosphere here in New York and his history here. Del Potro would have to be one of the tournament's big winners after two rounds of play, most certainly. Serena as well, her and Venus actually preceded Del Potro and Ash, both making some you know, more legacy building achievements. You know, Venus, she wins her 70th U.S. Open match, singles match, beating Julia Gerges 2-3. And then Serena, just one game different than that, 3-3 over fellow American Vania King. That would be her 306th Grand Slam victory, which ties her with the prolific Martina Navratilova. So no issues for the Williamses on after two rounds of play, you know, 34 and 36 years old, respectively. And, you know, that I think that's a good segue to kind of move back a bit into the younger set, and in particular, Jared Donaldson. And he's a player, a 19-year-old U.S. qualifier from Rhode Island, who I was trying to decide where the evening might take me in terms of match coverage, and I had pegged his match against Viktor Troitsky as one I wanted to see at the start of the day. The weather can really influence and determine kind of where the coverage goes, and but Donaldson, you know, nonetheless, and I think given you know that we had so many matches still going on around the grounds at a really late hour, even though Court 13 was very full, I think under other circumstances that might have been the only game in town on the grounds. And you know, with the young American trying to make the third round, I think he perhaps benefited a little bit from that. It wasn't like this was a cauldron that just exploded after every winner of his. Plenty of crowd support, though. But more importantly, it was how Donaldson played. He has, a beautiful two-handed backhand, able to hit that shot in a variety of manners, very versatile. But most, you know, what you took away was really some just great down the line swipes that just, you know, was the you know, game breaking shot against Troitsky at various important parts of this match. At a number of times, Troitsky, very savvy veteran player who lost in five sets to Donald Young at last year's Open, seemed like he was about to finally make an inroad and really just sort of make Donaldson think about the situation he was in. Donaldson never let it get to that point. And after the match, at his press conference, you really, you know, saw the composure that you saw on the court right in the interview room as well. This kid has traveled to Argentina to study the game and practice. He works with Taylor Dent as his coach. There's a lot to like about Donaldson, certainly at this tournament. And the comparison that I made and a few others made is that, you know, we've really heard a lot about Francis Tiafoe, Taylor Fritz more than Donaldson. And we even did it in the first round. Even though Fritz and Tiafoe both lost, they lost in very sort of notable fashion, five setters to strong opponents, you know, Sock and Isner. So they did get a lot of the attention even in defeat. But for this round, I think it was, you know, the focus was more on who prevailed, and Donaldson was, you know, of course that man. That's also can be said for, you know, Ryan Harrison and CeCe Bellis, who will play today in their third round matches. You know, all three Americans are qualifiers, not wild cards, actually. And you know, for those three, again, three of the big winners after two rounds of play. You know, otherwise around the grounds, from what I saw, you got more Gael Monfils. That was some fun stuff in the rain, deciding not to end his practice in the torrential downpour. Good stuff there. Simona Halep prevailing early against Lucy Safarova, and you know, I think to get through that in straight sets, I think certainly important. Safarova definitely one of the better unseeded players in this tournament. And, you know, that brings us kind of to where we are today. You know, Djokovic will presumably play today, as long as he doesn't get another walkover. He gets Mikhail Yuzny, you know, a player, no question about it, who he should be beating. Really, he should be beating in straight sets. So I think it's curious to see what we get from Novak after that round one. Sort of a shaky start, and perhaps even, you know, a little bit of injury concern with him after his year. So Djokovic's match with Yuzny, one to pay attention to. Sock and Cilic is really good as well. I do think Cilic will, I just like the run Cilic is on, and I like the, again, as I was saying with Del Potro, the comfort level of him at this tournament as a former champion. I do like Cilic to take that one over Jack. You'll also see Harrison against Baghdatis. You know, I think quite honestly, it's a disappointment for Harrison if he can't take advantage of this opportunity. I think it's clearly the biggest stage he's been in his career now. Third round of the Slam for the first time after so many attempts to get there. But Baghdatis is truthfully a player that he should be beating, especially in the form that he's in. And, you know, Harrison, to get to the second week, that's the task at hand. Nadal also plays on Ash against Kuznetsov. On the women's side, day five, CeCe Bellis, who I mentioned earlier, against Anjali Kerber, the late match on Ash. It's certainly intriguing from a variety of perspectives, but I think from a competitive standpoint, I do think Kerber will take this without much difficulty. Keys as well on Ash, really getting some good court placement. Two Ash Billings from the number 9 seed. And a very interesting match that I saw was Johanna Konta against Belinda Bencic. Bencic has not been in strong form all year, but has gotten through two rounds at the Open, also playing doubles. So her against Konta, who is in strong form, one of the matches I'm curious about. That's it for the Tennis in 10 podcast, day 4. We'll talk to you on day 5. This is Ed McGrogan for Tennis.com. Thank you for listening.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.